Hi, this is Isaac Benjamin, and welcome back to the Frontline Podcast, Scrubs in the Trenches. Today, I want to invite Mark, a coworker who has experienced, you know, different issues trying to get his medical or religious exemption for the COVID-19 shot. And I just kind of want to outline that I can get on board with mandates if your intention is to get the people that don't really care one way or another to, you know, let you twist their arms with incentives, threats, and just overall craziness, then okay, you can have your mandate. But if you're going to attack and discriminate against the ones who really care enough to fill out either their medical or religious exemption, then just please let us be. We don't want this in our bodies, and if my doctor or my higher power believe that risk versus benefit is I shouldn't take this shot, then you have no right to tell me I have to. Anyway, I'm going to turn it over to Mark and let him just kind of explain what he had to go through for trying to get his exemption. And so here he is. Mark, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Isaac. Appreciate you having me on. And for the viewers, I've been talking with Isaac for a little while, and I think we were actually discussing this maybe even halfway through season one about me coming on the show. But life happens, and we kind of decided after his December break that I would jump on and kind of talk about a few things. And I've been telling him I'm going to try to avoid rabbit trails, but for anyone that's listening to this that knows me, we may wind up going down one or two. But my main focus on being on this is really about discussing what a vaccine exemption looks like, and honestly, what a good one looks like and what a bad one looks like, because I've experienced it through two different companies, and one was pretty flawless, and the other one was anything but flawless. I'm actually surprised it got approved, but it did get approved, and I'll just kind of go through how those went. So
yeah, and I also want to say, like, it's just been very inconsistent. I have had a reaction to the flu shot. I really didn't have any issues with exemptions throughout this process. They did make me resubmit several times, but other than that, thank God that they did approve my exemptions and allowing me still to have the medical freedom to choose what I put in my body and don't put in my body. And unfortunately, though, other people like Mark and others, I've had coworkers get fired over this. So I'm just going to let Mark kind of tell his story, and we'll kind of go from there.
Here we go.
Explain what you've been through.
So, yeah. I'm a PTA. I'm a physical therapist assistant. I graduated just this past May of 2021. And to preface all this exemption stuff, I had COVID in my second clinical rotation. So about a year ago, January of, 2021. And I actually had COVID and flu B. And I really wasn't that sick. And I actually went and worked on my buddy's farm for, probably the whole week that I was out, because I couldn't go to my clinical, which to me made sense. I mean, I don't think you should be walking around if you're a symptomatic COVID patient. I think when somebody says no vaccine or that they personally don't want the vaccine, people immediately jump to conclusions and think that, you know, we're on the extreme of, oh, no matter what, if you're sick or whatever, however you feel, just run around and do what you want. Like, that's not my stance. I don't think that's Isaac's stance.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think we all in the medical professional, whether we agree with one, you know, for the shot or for not for the shot, we all agree that, you know, let's use common sense and do our best to keep this from spreading. But like I've said before, they push this shot as Excalibur, and I see it more as a pocket knife.
It's a tool, but it's definitely not Excalibur.
So anyway, I had it in January of last year. I didn't feel too bad, but definitely a little, maybe like 80% as far as endurance and stamina and all that. And I did a lot of breathing exercises just on my own. I even started that before I actually got the official test. I kind of was like, okay, I've never felt like this before. I think this is COVID. So I started being proactive. Also was very active, just staying moving, staying outside rather than laying around. And I think that helped too. But I say that to kind of go into the mandate stuff. So I graduate, take my licensure. I'm heading toward a PRN job that I had been interested in for a while and I thought would be available, and it was. And I'm not going to say any company's names in this, but basically the company that I started working for is a rehab unit within a hospital, but they aren't employed by the hospital. So all the staff on that rehab unit are not employed by that hospital. And so it was also my understanding that most vaccines go through, I think, a two-year trial of a minimum of 2 years. Sometimes they're more like 4 or 5, but I'm not positive on that. But I know that at least 2 years.
Yeah, and just to butt in, the next closest shot to be released vaccine from start to finish was 4.5 years. I believe it was the MMR. Okay. So no shot, no vaccine, which is hard for me to call this a vaccine, but no other quote-unquote vaccine has ever been released even in twice the amount of time it took COVID. Like, this 4.5 was
second
place.
So 2 years, I don't know where I got that 2 year number. Maybe they were saying it was going to be 2 years for the COVID shots. But turned out, I guess whoever the FDA approved it by September of, so less than a year after, over a year, but because I don't know when the trials actually started. But anyway, well under 2 years before Pfizer approved theirs. I don't know if Moderna or J&J are they still in the vaccine, trial
experimental
period?
Yeah, I'm not even.
I don't even know. I think it was like after Pfizer went fully approved, people just started getting shots willy-nilly and not really questioning any of them. But anyway, so based on my knowledge of that it was going to be some time before the mandate, I thought, oh, okay, well, I'll be able to just politely decline the shot because it's still, you know, not fully approved by the FDA. Well, the other issue is apparently that wasn't the case, that they could still mandate it at the hospital, even with it still being in the experimental stages or in the trial stages. So they did that, but I was kind of banking on the full approval. Well, I let my director know that after I was offered the job, I kind of proactively let her know, hey, I'm not willing to get this shot. And I had religious reasons and medical reasons. I'm not going to get into my religious reasons too much. I think that's something I'd be willing to talk to people about personally. But I think more I'm focused on the medical aspect. So I had a condition called Wolf Parkinson's White Syndrome, and it causes supraventricular tachycardia, which is an excessive heart rate. My heart would just start racing for no reason, really, into the 150s, 160s. And basically, whenever I was diagnosed with it in 2011, my doctors explained it, and they said, on autopsy, this is what they find in a lot of the young athletes, like when you hear of high school athletes just dropping dead during practice or maybe during a game. And especially in young men, you hear of this is what they find, the heart defect they find on autopsy. And so I'm thinking, okay, these shots have already shown some cardiac issues, and I had that condition. It was corrected with a cardiac ablation. I don't want to wake it back up. And that was my biggest issue. And turns out I also have an allergy to a substance that's in the vaccines. I'm not going to go into all that.
Yeah, and I'll butt in. I'm allergic to the unknown component. I'm allergic to unknown because there's still unknown stuff that is in this vaccine that I don't think they've released what exactly it is. So
yeah.
Just if anybody wants to question me, I'm allergic to the unknown. So sorry to butt in. But
yeah, no problem. And
I just think it's ridiculous how far this has gone with people's medical freedoms and choices.
Well, I've also heard you talk a little bit on some of your other podcasts or that you've guest appeared on about the fact that they won't release the data until when?
Well, they actually, I saw on that video you sent me that I think they have 8 months now. They requested that they didn't have to release the studies or the clinical trial information from Pfizer till 2076. But
yeah, so we might be dead then.
Yeah, yeah. Well, all the people that are at least making money off this shot will be dead by then. I think that was the bigger point, is they were trying to wait to be released until they were no longer alive. But
and then they don't have to pay for their sins, right?
Exactly. But I believe that they were given 8 months. So hopefully in 8 months we will have more information about what they actually did in these clinical trials. And I had a statistics teacher whenever I was in high school tell me, never trust a statistic unless you know exactly what outliers they are throwing out or leaving in.
Or whose money is funding the research.
Exactly.
Yeah, so getting back on the mandate train, I was hired on by this company, and they said, basically my director said, hey, the company is not for mandates. We're not going to push anything on you, but because we work within this other health system, we have to, you know, comply with what they want to do. And I said, I'm like, okay, well, that makes sense. But luckily for me, because I needed this job by that point, and luckily they had their own separate exemption process through our company. So essentially they would say, you turn in your exemption to us, and then all we do is tell this other healthcare system that we're working within, hey, he applied for this exemption, we approved it, he's good to go. And they say, okay, thank you. Which,
that's how it should work, right?
It's how it should work, but it's also a bit silly because you'll see whenever, or, well, you work for the same healthcare system, but you'll see in my exemption process how I'm already working within this hospital now under one company. And then I am offered a job. So this is like a second job. It's not like I'm leaving the other job. I'm kind of do both of them. You will see that the other company just tried to strong arm me into taking the shot. And I mean, I wasn't budging. I literally was like, if I get denied on the religious exemption and then I get denied on the medical exemption, I'll just have one job and I'll find something somewhere else. I'll go work an outpatient or go do home health or something, you know. And so that was kind of what was odd to me about it. So anyway, I'll get into it. So yeah, I was hired on with that first company. I applied for a religious exemption and it was promptly approved. And that was, my hire date was July of 21. I started like the first or second week in August. Well, then I was offered a job. I applied for and was offered a job with the other company, the actual hospital, to work in the acute rehab department. And that was October 21st. No, it was October of 21. I'm looking at my notes here. Prior to the onboarding task, and I had talked with HR a little bit about this, but I guess it slipped their mind. And it's funny, a lot of things slip people's mind in this stuff because nobody's doing this. Nobody's applying for exemptions. Everybody has just, they've gone, oh, my job. Like, I know there's, I work with several people that are passionate about the jab, and they think it's the answer, and I think it's the answer for some people. Like, don't get me wrong, but I don't think it's the answer for me. I walked through COVID like a walk in the park with Flu B on board too. I don't think that I need this shot. I think I probably still have durable immunity, and I'm pretty sure I encountered COVID again back in July, and I had a fever that fluctuated like probably for 2 hours up and down, and then that was it. And I've never experienced that with anything else. So I'm pretty sure that my immunity is turned on and it's working.
Yeah, and just another point about the shot, it would be one thing if it stopped it from spreading, but just working as a bedside nurse, and like it seems like people's underlying health comorbidities have more to do whether they're getting admitted to the ICU than whether they're vaccinated or unvaccinated, just from what I've seen. And these vaccinated people that are getting in the ICU are still on isolation because guess what? They can still spread COVID even with the shot.
Yeah. And to interject, this Isaac just kind of sparked my mind on something. You know, he's a nurse. He's been a nurse for 10 plus years, 13, right?
Yeah, 13 years.
And he has this view. And what I'm also concerned about is he has this view. It's real world experience, and it's discounted. But when somebody else, and that goes for doctors too, there are numerous doctors who kind of stand where we stand and have the same view as us.
Yeah, it's like Dr. Malone, who helped invent the shot.
Right. Pierre Corey, he leads an ICU somewhere up north. Don't quote me on all the fine details, but he's well-documented. Peter McCullough. And then you've got all these nurses who have seen what they've seen and come to a different conclusion, and they're discounted immediately. I just find that baffling, that it's every time I've run into these conversations with people that disagree, it's this whole, and we've all heard it, you know, the science is settled, believe the science. And it's like, what world do you live in where science is ever settled?
Yeah, there is no truth in science. That's what makes it science. You have a theory, you test it from as many different angles as long as possible. That's true science.
Keyword, as long as possible. Not very long here with all these vaccines. But anyway, so getting back on track, prior to my onboarding task with this other this hospital organization, I reached out to HR and said that I needed to apply for the religious exemption, which, like I said earlier, they forgot that I was even going to do that. They're just expecting me to take it. And I'm like, nope, still want to apply. I talked to you about that before, but nobody's doing it. And I think there's a lot of people that just, they didn't want the shot, but they just went with it. And then there's a lot of people that absolutely wanted it. And there's people that got it as soon as they heard it was available down the road at CVS. Like, you know, it's your right to do whatever you want, but to look around you, and anybody, if you're at work and you work in healthcare, if you look around you, there's people of all those areas I just described. There's people that absolutely want the shot. There's people that kind of want it. There's people that kind of don't really care at all either way. And then there's people that really
feel passionate
that, like, it's your right to get it or not. And then I'd say this is the most extreme is
people that say it's just snake oil and poison.
Yeah, it's going to kill everyone. Exactly. Like Isaac has said in previous podcasts, yes, this shot reduces symptoms for a lot of people. I agree with that, and I don't deny that at all. But when the shot has a cardiac, like for me, a cardiac risk, okay, they say, oh, well, COVID is a, you know, having COVID itself is a cardiac risk, and you may get cardiac issues from COVID. I'm like, hello, I've had COVID, and I haven't had any cardiac issues, so why would I risk getting the shot when I handle COVID well? Why would I risk getting the shot when it may cause cardiac issues?
Yeah, and all I know is if you do have cardiac issues after getting the shot, I do not believe our company is going to give you a settlement and pay for your ability to provide for your family.
Yeah.
That's to me, the most sickening part of this
virtue signal or anything, but I am a foster parent. We have a 14-year-old girl we are about to adopt. We have a 3 and 4 year old little boys that we may adopt. It depends on if they're reunified with their parents. But basically, I don't have the luxury, and I don't think there are a lot of people that don't have the luxury of taking a risk. And you know, that's my issue. My wife just scaled back her job, her hours, because we're focusing more on our kids. And so she was the breadwinner while I was in school, and now I'm the breadwinner. And that's how it's structured in our home. So I need these jobs, one, and it was attempted to strong arm me out of these, or one of these jobs. And then two, if I'm hurt and it's long lasting, and don't be fooled, there are people who have had long lasting issues that would, especially in a physical job like what I do, that they wouldn't be able to do. I wouldn't be able to do my job depending on what happened to me. So, I feel like I'm going to say this 50 times during this podcast, but getting back on track. So I did let HR know I wanted the religious exemption. I applied for that. In my religious exemption, I also wrote a note about my medical concerns. And as mentioned, and more specifically, I said my medical concerns were also mentioned, but since I didn't have a cardiologist or insurance, health insurance, for the last 2 years, due to being in school and having no insurance, I did not initially apply for a medical exemption. So I have a religious exemption reason to this as well, and I was told that required less documentation and paperwork, and who wants to do documentation and paperwork? So I was like, well, I'll do the religious exemption, but I'll kind of notate in my medical exemption as well, or notate in my religious exemption my medical reasons why as well. Because I was told later it's a board of, or a panel or whatever, of infectious disease and other doctors that are basically analyzing these exemptions, and they are determining whether they'll approve of it or not. Which I don't understand why doctors are analyzing religious exemptions, because that's a totally different thing, but that is apparently the case. So, but I did just want to mention my medical reasons, because I thought, even if they, for some reason, don't see my religious exemption as a good reason, they may say, oh, but he has Wolf Parkinson's White. We definitely don't want to, you know, run into any cardiac issues. Go ahead, Isaac.
Yeah, and just to kind of give some insight on my situation. So I haven't had tons of trouble. I did get a medical exemption for the COVID shot because I've had a reaction to the flu shot in the past. But my lifelong flu medical exemption, all of a sudden they gave us like 3 weeks to put in a new exemption saying that our, you know, medical exemptions are no longer valid and we have to submit a new exemption every year, just with the COVID and the flu. I think they're just making it both annual exemptions that you'll have to fill out, which is fine. I'll do the paperwork. But it was strange to me. My medical exemption all of a sudden.
Isaac's no longer allergic to the flu shot, people.
Exactly. Because
how asinine.
I know, because I guess of somebody at the top that's made so much money off of this pandemic gets to make a choice about one of their, you know, scrubs in the trenches, one of their peons. I didn't even have time to see the doctor to do another medical. So I did do a religious and did the same thing where I made a religious exemption and put in my, you know, basically my body is the temple of Christ and I've already had a reaction to this. So it's kind of proven both religiously and medically that my body does not like this shot. So,
yeah, I think it should look like if you like renounce your faith or something, you could, it could be your duty, I guess, to say, hey, I no longer believe this, and like update that in the little system, in a system they have or whatever. But if you've said, hey, I believe this and this is why, and it's been approved, there should be no need to update your religious exemption. Or if you say,
if you had a reaction,
I'm medically unable to get this. And I had another coworker that went through this. She was out for like 10 days because she was hung up on the flu. It was the flu shot exemption. And I won't say her name or what she does, but yes, that happened to someone else I know as well. And I'll get to, Isaac said something about the people at the top, and I'll get to that in a minute because it's very interesting how little knowledge we have of who the people at the top are. And I know I may sound like a conspiracy theorist or I may sound like I'm paranoid, but it's very concerning to have a specific body of individuals who are calling the shots on whether you get a job or not, whether you have to take a shot or not, and you have no idea who they are. And I'll get to that in a second. But so after I applied for the religious exemption, and part of my appeal to religious exemption, I guess I'll get into it a little bit, was the use of aborted fetal tissue in the creation of these vaccines. Now I have friends who believe and you know people who say there's fetal tissue in the shots. I have not seen any evidence of that personally, but I do know, and it's public knowledge, that they've used them either to grow the vaccine, use the cultures to grow vaccine components in, or they use the aborted fetal tissue
In the development?
Yeah, it's the cell lines. It's not the actual cells from the original abortion. But, you know, still blood on the hands, I think. But basically, they use it to test in the, what are those studies called? In vitro studies, you know, to see how effective the vaccine will be. And sometimes those respond differently than in the actual human body. So those are, you know, a valuable part of science in some way, but
it's not an end-all be-all.
Right, and for me, I didn't want to associate myself with anything to do with that. Well, after the initial application, the exemption committee requested my vaccine records and a list of over-the-counter meds I've used in the past, and I was, like, kind of curious why they asked me about that. But I had already sent that to them, but then I was like, why did they even ask that? So I did some research, and some of those medications that I've used, and of course the vaccines, which I didn't know about the vaccines, and I haven't had any vaccines in a while except for the flu shot, which don't use aborted fetal tissue cell lines. But a lot of the other vaccines I'd taken as a child and into my young, not young adulthood, but into my adolescent years, did use aborted fetal cell lines, and as well as, and this will blow some of your minds, but like acetaminophen, ibuprofen, some of those they've used. And so I don't want anything to do with those either anymore because of their connection to that. So that's kind of, you know, something that it's not on the bottle. Nobody tells you, hey, when you're buying it, this was associated with this. They just assume you're okay with it. And that's kind of odd to me as well.
And I just want to look into the history of that itself because acetaminophen's been around for hundreds of years, I believe. Like, it's been around a while.
And maybe it has, and, like, and maybe...
It's like, when did they start using aborted fetuses to help develop it? Because I feel like it was almost around before that was even a thing in science.
I mean, so I think it was the 60s or 70s when those cell lines were,
started and harvested. And
so I don't know. I haven't really deeply researched that, but I made the connection. So they were asking... Because they were trying to find an inconsistency
with your belief system.
With my belief system and why I was opposed to the vaccine. And I'll be honest, that sounds like an inconsistency if I was aware of
the fact that they say that Tylenol, and that's just something I feel like I need to do more research
Nobody, I don't think, I bet if I asked 100 people, nobody, not 100, not one of those 100 would know
that information. Well, and that's to me, I don't even know if the uppers are trying to use that to manipulate people, and it may not even be truth. Like, that's the problem.
Also,
that's the problem with all of this, is there's just no transparency and basically just so much coercion.
So I figured that out before they even sent anything back. So I sent a separate email to the committee, and I said, I was unaware of this, you know, about the medicines and using them. And as far as the vaccines, I haven't had any vaccines and my beliefs have evolved and kind of understanding some of these things. And I won't be using these anymore. They didn't respond to that email, which is no surprise to me. It wasn't 5 days later, HR reached out to me and said, hey, the religious exemption was denied. And this is where we get into the people at the top. I told HR, I said, I would like to appeal this decision, because I don't agree with the answer. And of course they didn't respond to my email about the consistency of my beliefs and wanting to kind of hash that out with them. They didn't respond to it. So I didn't have that opportunity. I was told that I couldn't appeal. I asked to speak directly with who was making these decisions and was told it was a group of medical professionals at the corporate level and that I was not able to contact them.
What kind of system is that?
Yeah, fishy? Like, is that not just concerning? And I've told, you know, a lot of people this. I've told people this that I know disagree with me about, you know, the vaccine. And they think, like, everyone should get it, but they're even, like...
That's strange that you can't even, talk to someone about the decision they're making about your life.
They're like, yeah, you're definitely, you know, it's definitely like you're being strong-armed. So, at that point, I said... And dude, this honestly it was so exhausting, because we're, at the same time...
You have a life. You're trying to provide for a family.
Not just any life. I graduated school, and then in the middle of, right after I graduated, we started some home renovations that were not necessarily, we flooded our kitchen, and then we had some exterior stuff going on prior to that. So there's that going on.
You're saying that life happened.
Yeah. And then there's us trying to bring in two more foster kids, and you could say, well, some of that was by your own choice, yes, but I also feel like it was part of God's plan to bring these kids into our home, so I wasn't going to deny that plan. And so, yeah, we're just, like, battling the home issues and stuff. I mean, our kitchen was gutted for, like, 2.5 months. It was pretty rough. And then I'm having to fight for my job and, like, fight to get this second job. So... Anyway, I was, like, ready to throw in the towel, but I was like, you know what? I'm going to push through. I'm going to do the medical exemption, too, because I even said in my religious exemption, I said, you know, I hope you will understand my request and consider both my religious reasons and the medical concerns I have. But if you don't, and maybe I shouldn't have if you donated them, and that, maybe that was a challenge to them, I don't know. But I said, if this is unable to be approved, I will be requesting a medical exemption. And so HR's like, all right, so when are you going to get the shot? And I'm like, I'm not. I said, I want to put in for a medical exemption now. I said, but I have to set up an appointment with a new PCP and have to go see them and get that all done. So mind you, October is when I accepted the job. Remember that. I set up an appointment with a PCP due to my concerns of Wolff Parkinson-White syndrome. The doctor said he was not only concerned about my heart, but also an allergy I had, which, guess what, HIPAA, so I'm not going to tell you what I'm allergic to just because I can. But there was a medication that I've taken in the past that caused some allergic issues, and he said that there's components of that, two of the mRNA vaccines that have that substance in them. And so because of those two reasons, which I didn't even know about that, he just kind of connected those dots.
So you're saying you found a doctor that practiced medicine?
Yeah, he actually, you know, noticed something else and was like, hey, he shouldn't take it for this reason,
yeah,
too.
He looked at his patient and he did risk versus benefit, which is what every patient and doctor should have the freedom to do in a free society.
Yep, and so he made, at that appointment, he typed out a letter and sent me home with it. Medical exemption recommendation. By the way, this doctor's board certified. He was on the board of Morgan Memorial for 13 years. And he actually stepped down because of he's not agreeing with how a lot of this is handled, has been handled, and still is being handled. So he recently stepped down from the board, but he was on the board of a hospital for 13 years. So I think he's got some credibility, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, and it sounds like he was more pushed out for his beliefs as a doctor.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's coercion and it's not, it, I mean, he could probably stick around and shake things up for a little longer, but eventually, you know,
the majority wins. If the majority of the uppers think that, hey, this jab is for everyone and we're not even going to look at science or data or anything, we've already made up our minds and this is the way it has to be, then, you know, a lot of us don't really have a choice to stay where we're staying. So
right. So anyway, HR responded to, I took a picture of the letter and sent that in. They responded and they said, hey, we sent you this, I sent you this link. There's this form that you need to fill out with specifics. And to note, this should have been given to me prior to the appointment because I had to fax this thing back and forth like three times. So basically, you know, this form, it said, it had a checkbox for like the mRNA vaccines and then a checkbox for J&J. And it was like very specific. I meant to bring these papers so that Isaac could look at them, but
I've seen them, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I was like, okay, board-certified physician, on the board of a hospital for 13 years, why would you not just take his word that, like, it even has his number, if you have any questions or concerns, call me, please. Why would you not take his word or give him a call and settle it that way? So, but if everyone has to fill out this form, whatever, everyone has to fill out the form. I'm like, okay. So I download the form, print it off, fax it over to them. They fill it out and send it back. And then I take a picture of it and upload it onto the portal for it to be looked at again by the committee,
which is not an easy process.
It's very difficult. Then the committee reached out to me after the form was filled out completely and signed by the PCP stating, And they said they wanted to know exactly which ingredient in the vaccines that I'm allergic to. And I'm just like, what is going on here? Yeah. Like,
when did HIPAA just not become HIPAA anymore? That's what's confused me about all this.
I mean, I understand from one aspect, like, you know, if you want everyone to have this, then you need to know at least their vaccine status. But now, like, Isaac is kind of where he's going with this is you're not only getting into do they have the vaccine or not, you're getting into their personal information about what medications they take for whatever reason. So what if the medicine I took for, what if it was Viagra? And I'm like, I don't want anybody to know this because I have ED. Now, this isn't what it is, but I'm just like, it's kind of funny because I don't know who's going to listen to this. And I'm like, that's awkward now. I've done made it awkward and we could probably cut this out, but I'm cool if Isaac doesn't cut it out because I'm just like a pretty.
Yeah, it is what it is. But like, that's medical freedom.
That's not the medication. But I'm saying that's just an example of why HIPAA exists is because
people have the right to privacy.
Yeah, like. It's a privacy issue. And so. Yeah, I mean, they're asking not only the medication, but then the specific ingredient. And I'm just like, this is so odd to me. So I call the office and I said, hey, now they not only want to know which vaccines I'm allergic to, but they want to know what specific ingredient. So could you please update the letter that was originally sent to me with the specific ingredient? And so they did that. And finally, on December 7th of 2021, over 2 months after I was offered the job, I had a medical exemption approved for the vaccine. And, you know, it just,
our job is stressful enough dealing with COVID, being in literally the building where all the worst COVID cases go. Why not support us instead of hindering us? If we truly believe that the shot is not for us and, you know, and Mark's touched on it, but he has natural immunity, you know, like we can't even discuss like how germs have worked for thousands and thousands of years and how our immune system works. Like all of a sudden we can't even have a discussion about that, which is the frustrating part to me. And to kind of go a little bit off topic, I would just be interested if hospitals would publish the number of vaccinated employees that have been out with COVID versus the number of unvaccinated employees that have been out with COVID, because I have not missed any time due to COVID. I have not had the COVID shot, but I remember, you know, and I love my boss, but I remember my boss saying she's never seen anything like this. I think 87 employees between just our one campus out with COVID, and I do believe that the majority of them were vaccinated.
Sure they were, because most of them haven't applied for a medical exemption or a religious exemption.
So it's clear
to me, because they don't know how to answer my questions when I ask them questions.
Yeah.
Because I literally had the HR girl, I can't remember exactly what I asked, but she was like, I'm going to have to ask someone else because nobody's asked me this specific thing before. And I can't remember what it was, but it's just like, it was a question that should be pretty commonly asked by people who are
filling out exemptions.
Yeah. No one's doing it. Everyone's just like, oh gosh, if I even push back, they're going to just find a way to cut me loose. And that might be true, but you know, I know my value. I'm not arrogant. But I know my value as a therapist. I've worked in this hospital for a long time in other positions before I went to school. And I know that there's a lot of people that wanted me to come back. There's a lot of people that wanted to work with me and want me to stick around. And I want to stick around. I love most of the people I work with. Actually, I love all the people I work with. Sometimes you don't like people, but I think
you still love them.
You can love people without liking them. But, you know, it's just like, But at the end of the day, I'm not going to be strong-armed and coerced by a medical giant to do what they want, because God is my provider and I'm trusting him. So if somehow they hear this podcast and don't like it and they rip both jobs out from under me, like,
God will provide.
That's God will provide. Like, good for them. Like, yeah. You know, and I think he'll just take me from one thing to something better. And yeah. I truly believe that. So.
Yeah, and I'm under the same thing. Everything happens for a reason. I've done exactly what has been required of me to not have to take this shot. And like you said, most people just don't even fill out exemptions. And being a person that has dealt with an adverse reaction after the flu shot mandate, I mean, it is what it is, and I just accept it. I do what I have to do, jump through whatever hoops you want me to jump through, and if in the end you're still going to fire me, you're still going to fire me. But trust me, there are hospitals are hurting for nurses.
And if it's not clear who the bad guy is, at the end of listening to this podcast,
If you
think I'm the bad guy for not wanting the shot or whatever, and all the other people who don't want the shot are the bad guy, like, I really feel sorry for you, because, you know, the bad guy is, and like Isaac said before, people were, especially nurses, I mean, physical therapist assistants, OTs.
Anyone in the hospital.
Anyone in the hospital. They were treating these patients long before there was a vaccine or any protection other than PPE, and sometimes PPE was even an issue. But those people, now that there's a vaccine available, are suddenly villainized if they don't want the vaccine. And then we're talking about staffing shortages and all that, like Isaac said, and the issue is the staffing shortages are partly because people are sick, but it's also because people have walked away. And some of it's just stress and burnout, but it's also people that they were not bowing down and getting the shot when they didn't agree with it. And to push, like, even with the mandates, I think they're, rather than forcing people to do something, I think it would have been much smoother to keep it a choice thing, and as the data and everything comes along, if the shots are as great as they're claimed to be, then people would go and get it on their own. Like,
yeah, you never have to force anybody to do anything if it's the right thing to do.
Right. So, but anyway, that's kind of how it went. And I think people aren't really aware of how, like, difficult
they're making it. Yeah, like, and it should be a medical choice. And like I said before, like, it really, I've been nursing for over 13 years. I've gone through H1N1, and whenever the flu shot got mandated, it really wasn't a big deal. I was a little annoyed, but once I had reactions to the shot, then it became a big deal and became personal.
Sure.
Because if you've never had a vaccine reaction, you just don't know. And you can't say that you know how somebody else felt or how somebody else feels about the shot if you yourself have always gotten vaccines and been okay. Like, that's great. That's your experience. But my experience is different.
Right. So, for the record, I got the flu shot the day I had my COVID exemption appointment. I actually did get the flu shot because the hospital, like Isaac said, requires it. So, for the record, like Isaac has said in some of his podcasts, I'm not an anti-vaxxer. I think that I have friends that are anti-vaxxers, and we love each other dearly, and we have discussions about those things, and they may listen to this and, you know, be like, yeah, I disagree with him on that. But I think certain shots, like when I've had my titers drawn, I still have durable immunity to a slew of things that I was vaccinated for when I was a baby, which is also odd that I have durable immunity to all those, but, you know, we're seeing immunity fall off with these vaccines in 8, 10, 12 months.
Yeah.
And
I saw something that was just funny to me on Facebook, being like, if I gave my kid three polio shots in less than 2 years and my kid still got polio, I'd be pissed off. Like,
yeah.
And that's essentially what's happening with this shot. So it's just, I think, becoming more and more clear that, you know, and it would have been great if this shot was Excalibur, but just being in medicine as long as I've been in medicine, it became pretty clear from the get-go that anything that's rushed this quickly is going to have, there's going to be sloppy lab work. There's going to be things about it that aren't, you know, as effective as we can prove in a lab or on a test. And like Mark said before, we're proving things that benefit the people that are funding this research. Like, it's a circle. Like, it's, you follow the money and it's eventually not going into our pockets here on the front lines.
Right.
But yeah, I appreciate you coming on, Mark. Is there anything else you wanted to touch base on or go over?
Not necessarily. I mean, like I said, I told Isaac when I had been talking to him about this in the last couple of weeks that there's just so many rabbit trails. I may wind up on the podcast again. There's so many rabbit trails to go down, and you can call them little conspiracy theory trails.
Or spoiler alerts.
Or you could call them, you can call them whatever. But it really doesn't take much to be called a conspiracy theorist these days. But, I don't think that there's anything specific. I don't want to go into a bunch of different details about a bunch of different things and then have people go, well, you're not a doctor, or you're not, I don't.
Yeah, you're not Bill Gates.
Yeah. Wait, he's not a doctor either, is he? I think that kind of sums it up. I just wanted people to see what a medical exemption process looks like and realize that
definitely coercion.
Yeah, there are people that they don't care. They don't care about your heart. And regarding the shots and inflammation of the heart and cardiac, issues, since when? I've read articles in the mainstream news about, oh, it's mild, oh, it's, treatable. Since when is cardiac tissue inflammation or damage It's not a big deal. Like, it's always been a big deal. The heart is a muscle, and
it does not regenerate.
When it's done.
It does not grow back. It's
now,
not
yes,
like
you can treat inflammation and things like that, but what I'm saying is when you have one heart and you have a risk of injuring it that you don't want to take, especially if you have a previous condition like myself, then it shouldn't be up to anybody but you.
And your doctor your God. Well, like, it should be a personal
choice. I'd say
you
and your God.
Yeah.
Your doctor should support you in your decision. Now, I will say, if everyone who got COVID a month later, or it doesn't have to be a month, but shortly after, had cardiac issues, severe cardiac issues, or even mild, then it would be comparable. But that's not the case. And because I've already had COVID and know that it didn't cause myself personally any cardiac issues, I'm not going to take the risk on the shot. Because I don't know if it's the spike protein that's in coronavirus and in the shot that caused the cardiac issues, or if it's some other component of the shot. So maybe I handle the stuff from the virus itself well, but there's something else in the shot that is causing these cardiac issues in specifically males around my age.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm not taking the risk. I have a religious opposition to it. I have a medical opposition to it, and I will
lose my job.
Yeah, I'm the same
before
way.
Before I take this shot,
I'm the same way. I will lose my job as well, and you can call it foolish, whatever. I really don't care.
Yeah, it's still your choice. So yep. I think that's one thing that all of us should agree on, whether you are pro-shot or anti-shot or like most of us, somewhere in between, it should still be a choice between the person and their doctor or their God. You know, it just, it should still be a choice. And it just blows my mind that I was trying to talk to a therapist, and I'm still in the process of trying to get in touch with a therapist that will see me in person while I'm unvaccinated. And I even explained to the office, well, I have a medical exemption for not being able to take this shot, and they still will only see me virtually, which I just don't want any part of. Like, I want to sit down and talk to person, because it has been tough dealing with not just COVID, but the just injustices given on people for whether they have medical or religious exemptions. Like, there's a reason why we're not taking this shot. And for you to just label us as a second class citizen because we won't take this shot is just discrimination, and it's wrong. Yeah. And it just, it blows my mind that people that say they are here to help people will just be part of that problem, be part of the just disgusting point of view that if you don't take the vaccine, you don't deserve help. And that's what's kind of pushing me to keep doing the podcast and keep just putting information out there, is because I want people to see that we are good people. We are not the bad guys, but we are people that are unvaccinated, and we're just doing our best day to day, and we shouldn't be considered, you know, like I said, Dr. Seuss. Like, just read Sneetches, please. Please, everybody, just go read Dr. Seuss' book, Sneetches, because it basically is like talking about a group of, you know, Sneetches that have stars on their bellies and ones that don't. And it doesn't even really matter why one group has stars and one group doesn't. It just gave the Sneetches basically a scapegoat or somebody to blame. So it was like all these people were bad because they didn't have stars. But then a guy came along and he removed stars or added stars. And, you know, the Sneetches didn't even know which one they started out with. They just, all they knew is they wanted to be part of the group that wasn't the other part of the group, which I just, like I said, I think it's an excellent lesson that everyone could benefit from in today's time. But
yeah, and Isaac, you know, he said we are good people. And, you know, for me, I think, and I mean, maybe you could go around and somebody could do a survey, but I'm pretty sure like 95% of people that I work with really like me. And I think that's the case with Isaac too. He kind of is
a little bit hard workers. We try to help others out.
We do the best for our patients. We treat our patients well. We treat our coworkers well.
Always willing to lend a helping hand.
Not everyone's like that, you know. And again, I'm not trying to brag or be arrogant. That's just my nature. And I don't think you should be embarrassed to
know your worth.
Right, exactly. And so, but, you know, and I have some coworkers who I've had conversations with that went really well, even though we disagreed. And I've had conversations that, you know, happened in front of patients and I wish wouldn't have happened. And it just kind of like, I wound up in the middle of it. Like, and I was like, you know, you kind of just walk away and like, okay, this isn't really going anywhere. And we're just, I mean, more so I was being name called, not necessarily name calling anyone else, but you just say a differing point of view that is backed in with data. And then people will say, well, that's not true. And they're like, okay, you hold on to your way of thinking. Because they'll have data, too. That's the other issue with this whole thing is
that... Well, and that's just life in general. You can prove whatever... What the thinker thinks, the prover proves.
I've been telling a few people that there is data to back our stance. And there is also data to back the other... I don't want to say the other side, but, you know, people with different points of view, there's data to back their stance, too. And so where we're at is, which data is true? Yeah. Who's telling the truth and who's lying? And my gut says that I'm right. I'm discerning that, you know, I think the way I'm thinking is more correct. And to specify, I think some people should get the shot. I think some people, the risk is worth the reward. But
that's a small that's a small window compared to like the blanket.
Yeah, everybody needs it. No, like if you've encountered the virus naturally, there is data to show you have natural immunity. And some people have said, oh, but if you get the booster or get another shot, it will boost it. And maybe that's true, maybe not. But if you've hit the natural, if you've hit the threshold of durable immunity, you don't need more of it. Like, if you're still at durable immunity, which I'll be 100% honest, I'm an open person. I actually haven't had a test done, like antibodies or T-cell, B-cell testing, to see where I'm at. But based on my encounter in July, where I'm pretty sure I encountered COVID again, I think I do have durable immunity still. And I actually do want to get both antibody and T-cell, B-cell testing just to see. But it's not so I can hold it up and say, look, I'm immune, because guess what? They don't even take that. They don't take, if you, because I actually submitted the request to, hey, what if I just, this was early on in the first religious, or the first exemption process, I said, hey, what if I have antibodies and I have T-cell, B-cell immunity, which again, this is so anti-science, it blows my mind, but they're like, nope, that doesn't count. Like, if you go look on, well, I don't want to say the hospital I work for, but if you know me, you know who I work for, and you could go on their website and look, and it says, frequently asked questions about the vaccine, and that is one of them. Well, what if I have natural immunity? And even if you have natural immunity, even if you've had the virus, and you go get a test to prove you still have durable immunity, you still have to get the shot. That makes zero sense.
Well, it doesn't have to, because if you just follow the money, you make money off the shot. You don't make money off of natural immunity. So I think that's just where people that still do believe that, you know, this the shot or nothing, just look at the money. Just follow the money. Because never in the history of America has the people that have gotten super rich off of something that necessarily wasn't as great as they were pushing it, never has, you know, those people been like the good guys. Like, never before have the people that ends up with gobs and gobs of money. And that's like going back to biblical, like the love of money is the root of many evils.
Yep, like the root. And I'm glad you quoted that scripture correctly, because some people say the love of money is the root of evil.
No, it's the, yeah.
I mean, excuse me. They say money is the root of evil. And it's like, no,
it's
money can be used for good.
Yeah, but the love of
the
money,
love of it, and obsessing
is the root
over
of many evils.
Yes.
Yeah, it's not just one blanket evil. It's it's greed, it's corruption, it's lying. You know, it branches off, and it's just, you know, this, you know, not that I'm a super big Bible thumper, but I do believe in universal truths that are revealed through the Gospels and the Bible.
That
people can benefit, and just, it's history. Like, history repeats itself.
Yeah, it does.
So,
One more thing, and I mentioned this either yesterday or the day before, and this is, I guess, is a good way to leave off, because I kind of want to spark people's mind a little bit on an issue, and I'm not going to say the exact scenario that I heard, but I'll just throw out a blanket scenario that kind of touches on the specific scenario I heard at work that sparked my mind on this. I think it's a major issue. So basically, it's this whole mentality of, if you're unvaccinated and you get bad sick, you don't deserve a hospital bed, or you don't deserve to be cared for. Now, I have individuals that I know that are pro-shot, pro-mandate, all that, and they wouldn't agree with that. So don't lump, just like we don't want to be lumped in with never, ever, 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 ever get the shot, they don't want to be lumped in with
people should die over their vaccination status.
Yeah, you should die. But my question, or you, I don't know if I'm worded as a question, but basically, if you have that mentality, I want you to really think about that. And if you have if you have a family member, a friend, a loved one that is extremely overweight, or extremely, they smoke a lot, or they are very, they take a lot of risk. Maybe they skydive a lot, or they base jump.
Or they're sedentary.
They're sedentary and they just sit around. Okay, let me ask you. Do they deserve to die when...
they've made multiple lifetimes worth of choices to get to where they got.
Whether it's adrenaline junkie, or whether it's candy-aholic, or whether it's alcoholic, or addicted to cigarettes, or drugs. Do you say, if they were in line at the ER, should they automatically be triaged as less of a human than somebody...
because of their choices.
...who was healthier? And if you go look in the hospital, I mean, me and Isaac can tell you, 80% of people that are in the hospital are not the most healthy.
Well, I would say even higher. I would say that healthy people do not get hospitalized
to the degree
for the most part. Like, just in what I see, and like I've touched on before.
I mean, it is happening, but at much lower rates.
Yeah, I mean, if you are overall healthy, and especially for COVID, and I've said this over and over, I've never been assisting a doctor intubate a yoga instructor for COVID.
Right.
That has never happened. Have I helped vaccinated individuals who are extremely overweight? Yes. Have I helped unvaccinated people that were just a little overweight? Yes. Like Mark said, this shot does help decrease the symptoms from what I've seen, but not to the extreme that, you know, we should take away people's rights and force it upon everyone. Like, this shot is just not that good.
And that's the thing, is the reduction of symptoms is great. The lack of accountability of the companies making these vaccines is also a skepticism that a lot of people have, that if there was a fund that would support individuals who were harmed, I think that a lot more people would consider
getting the shot.
That's another issue, which we won't dive into too hard, but mainly I just wanted to touch on the fact that if you devalue somebody, and I heard one person say this statement, they said, and then like three people chimed in agreement, and it was almost like they didn't even understand what they were saying. They didn't really think that through and think like, oh, but we treat cancer patients and we don't say, well, they just need to go die. And, oh, we treat diabetic patients. I mean, I learned something in school that blew my mind. Diabetic patients amputees, I think it's upwards of 75-80% of them are due to diabetes.
Yeah.
Okay. So that tells me that 70-80% of amputations could be avoided
if they just checked their blood sugars, took their insulin correctly, and had a proper diet.
So are we like, no, you're
going to die from gangrene because I'm not going to touch that nasty foot because you did this to yourself.
Yeah, no, absolutely not. We would never think that way about our diabetic patients. Now, would we advise them to change their lifestyle and not
eat honey buns every meal?
Yeah, take care of themselves. And it's not because, it's like, you could call it tough love, but I think you can be polite about it, but it's because we care. So we wouldn't say that about them. We wouldn't deny a cardiac patient with a blockage their surgery because
they smoked cigarettes.
You ate too many hamburgers and built up your cholesterol, ate too much salt.
We told you after, and I mean, this is an example I saw on the cath lab. Like, we did not have people who we told to stop smoking cigarettes, and on their second or third stint, it's not like, wait, did you start smoking again?
Strokes too. You
started smoking again. Oh, everybody, let's wrap this up. We're not going to stint this guy because we told him not to smoke cigarettes, but he went and smoked cigarettes again.
Right.
So just let's watch him die on the table. Like, that's like, in what reality would you think
insane.
That's okay?
And so when you tie that logic to the vaccine issue and vaccinated versus unvaccinated,
let's just back up to a metaphysical level and just look at it. Like, what are you truly saying? And I think that's where Mark's trying to go with this, is just look at your thought process, and if you really believe that that's how it should be, that if you're unvaccinated, you're not worthy of oxygen. I said that on one of my podcasts. Like, I'm afraid that might be where we go if we don't come to our senses. Like, just really understand what kind of person and that you're not coming from a place of love.
Yeah, no.
Whenever you definitely think not that way.
So, what if I run a red light and I hit your 16-year-old son and he's got a broken tibia and fibula and I'm in critical condition? Are you going to be like, well, he ran the light, so...
See my son first.
See my son first. Even though he's not going to die, you could leave him there for, you know, 48 hours laying on the ground, and he's not going to die. But I have a severe brain trauma to the head.
Yeah.
Are you going to be like, well, Mark ran the red light, so you better see my son first and get him fixed, because...
It's all his fault.
Mark's fault. No, like you.
I hope you wouldn't think that way.
I don't think most people that I know would think that way. And so that's where we're at with this whole vaccine thing. And that's my concern, is people becoming apathetic. And it's not, it's over something that is controversial. It's not like,
not black and white.
But this is the problem, Isaac. It's because we're being told it is settled, that the shot is so safe and it's so effective, only a fool wouldn't get it. And we're the fools.
Yeah.
But in our opinion, we're really not. It's a narrative. And
we're hoping to change that. So,
yeah, that's why I'm here. And
yeah, well,
I'll be honest, like, I really didn't want to be here. I really don't want to have to do this. I wish people would just
wake up,
have more sympathy, empathy, whichever one you like better, toward
others, people
who have a different
choices.
View and who have had COVID once and haven't been sick since me. And, you know, we're still here.
Yeah, devaluing people's personal experiences, like, because that's what, to me, this is all about. Like, I've had a personal experience with a reaction to a vaccine. Mark has had a personal experience with COVID. We all have our personal experiences that make us who we are and help us decide what's best for us and our families. And that's just so fundamental in a free society. So if you are for taking away people's freedoms, just realize one day there will be an issue that you're on the other side of the fence.
That is correct.
And whenever you allow them to take away those freedoms, they don't care that you were on their side of the fence for this issue. If you are against them on the other side of the fence for the next issue, you've already given away your rights. So at that point, they've won, in my opinion. So
yep.
I think that's where it all needs to boil down to, is these are fundamental, just basic rights of people. Because to me, it's like, when did medicine become God? Like, it's still medicine. Like, this is not
infallible.
Yeah, it is medicine. Medicine is not healing. They are two separate things. So to me, I'm more focused on truth and healing, and that's what I started this podcast for, was to allow an inside voice from inside the hospital. And you don't have to agree with me. I don't expect everyone to agree with me. But if you would just listen, I feel like you could gain something and hopefully become a more enlightened or better person when it comes to your fellow human being.
And yeah, I urge people to listen to whether it's podcasts, YouTube videos, whatever. Just if you think one way, and I'm saying that for people who think kind of more along the lines of me as well, not just people who think the opposite of me. If you think one way, go listen with an open mind, open heart. Go listen to people on the opposite side of your view. Because what happens is you stay in, and a friend of mine who commonly disagrees with me, she uses this term, echo chamber. And she has said, in my echo chamber, regarding her own, and in my echo chamber, regarding me personally, Mark, and she says, we're in different echo chambers, or whatever. And I'm like, you know, personally, I don't live in an echo chamber. I will go to the forest afar on both sides and listen to videos and watch things and then kind of discern from there what I think is the truth. And That's where I think we need to all be, is not staying in our own little. Now, I'll say I'm, you know, we all have our biases, and I'm, you know, typically listening to things I agree with. But I definitely jump over the line and listen to the opposite opinion. I love debates. I love listening to debates because that's two people of a different side right there in front of you. But it's weird with COVID, we haven't even seen a ton of debates because it's not even welcome. So that's where you need to go do your own groundwork and listen to both sides and then decide what you believe from there. So
right. Well, and I appreciate you coming on, Mark. I think we're kind of
we're just like I suspected. We're probably running long, but
yeah, this has been great. I really appreciate you coming on, Mark.
And I appreciate it too.
All right. Well, yeah. So in the future, I will be hopefully be bringing in more people that have served on the front lines, and I do want to kind of allow both sides to have a platform, because I know people I work with don't necessarily agree with me, but like Mark said, they can respect that, yes, I've had a vaccine reaction before, and I've been right there at the bedside, loving on, hugging COVID patients, giving them the best care that they could possibly receive. And just to end on one last final note, just to put some thought out there, just to let you know, they do not care about my vaccination status, whether or not I take care of COVID patients. Just to throw that out there, they don't really even talk about that, but they don't try to protect me, which I don't feel like, trust me, I don't feel like I need protecting, but because I am unvaccinated, they don't try to make me avoid COVID patients. So that's just food for thought for all you out there that, you know, think that everyone that's making these decisions are doing like, oh, the glorious right thing. Would they put unvaccinated people with COVID patients if we were any more risk of spreading it? Just think about that. Well, I appreciate everyone listening and have a wonderful day.